My friends in Christ,
the Christ you see pictured on the cover of today's bulletin, a close-up of one of the bronze ceremonial doors, hardly looks like a king as he stands there, bound and vulnerable and crowned with thorns. If this is a king, it is a king like no other. And so is the Christ on the beautiful processional Christ there before us up at the altar. He too defies any notion of kingship. The same can be said of the Christ in those three great stained glass windows in the cathedral's east apse. Christ is represented six times in those two outer windows, but in none of them does he look anything like a king. Take time to give them a careful look sometime if you haven't already. They are more than just colorful decorations in the cathedral. They are gospels in glass, meant to be read, meant to be studied, meant to be lived. Those windows have an interesting history. More than 20 years ago, almost 25 now, when we were renovating the cathedral, a noted stained glass artist by the name of Hans von Stockhausen came all the way from Germany to create those windows. At the time, they were about half as long as they are now, and they were mostly hidden behind a very elaborate altar piece from the 1950s. Stockhausen spent a week here, looking around the cathedral, taking in the life of the cathedral. At the end of the week, he told me, "I know what we should do to complete those windows. We should tell the parable of the Last Judgment in St. Matthew's Gospel." You know the parable. You just heard it in today's Gospel reading. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food, thirsty, and you gave me drink, in prison, and you visited me, naked, and you clothed me." A powerful parable, to be sure, but I wondered why the artist was so certain that it was that particular story that should be told in the new stained glass. His answer was quick in coming. "I have sat in the cathedral for a week," he told me, "and I walked around these grounds, and what I have seen here day after day is people doing those very things, feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, welcoming the stranger." I was deeply moved. In only a few days, he had discovered the heartbeat of St. James Cathedral. He had discovered the holiness of this place. He had discovered you. My friends, this is the feast of Christ the King. But did it seem a little strange to hear that particular gospel passage about feeding the poor and clothing the naked? Why not something a little more grand, a little more regal? And the answer, of course, is that the king is not whom we might think. The king was betrayed by a trusted friend, taken prisoner, mocked and scourged, and nailed to a cross. The king was despised by almost everyone, weak, silent, defenseless. The king was a laughingstock. And it's no different now. The king, the Christ, is still a laughingstock, still an object of scorn. Why? Well, because he doesn't look like a king, and he doesn't act like a king. The king, the Christ, as we heard in the parable, is poor and hungry and thirsty and naked and in prison and all alone. The king, the Christ, is, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, the least, the lost, and the last. The very ones Jesus identifies himself with in that parable when he says, "For as often as you did it for one of these least ones, you did it for me." And we are to do the same as Jesus did, not just reach out to them in loving service, certainly that, but to actually identify with them, to see ourselves as related to them, as our brothers and sisters. Just as Jesus cared far more about his kinship with them than he ever did about kingship, so must we. My friends, As you well know, this is not my gospel, nor is it some left-wing social manifesto. It's the Christian gospel. It's the only gospel we have. When you have a chance, I hope you will take time to study those glorious windows in the East apse up there. Today's gospel, inspired by you. Study them you must, however. It's not enough just to glance at them and see their beautiful colors. But if you do study them, you will see the King there, the Christ. You will see him betrayed in the garden, crowned with thorns, thirsting from the cross, and so much more. And don't stop there. Read the very words from today's gospel etched into those windows above and below, each of those representations of Christ. These words: I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was hungry, and you did not give me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was thirsty, and you did not give me drink. And so on. Read those words, and then ask the question the artist hoped you would ask when you looked at those windows. This question: where is the hungry Christ now? Where is the thirsty Christ now? Where is the lonely and abandoned Christ now? My friends, as you know, he is no longer in Gethsemane. He is no longer climbing the lonely road to Calvary. He is here in our midst, and we must find him right here.